Gosh darn it. I didn't make it on a Tuesday. It took me till Wednesday to do this. Oh, sorry. Laying down on bed for a second. But don't worry. This podcast will be energetic and informative and everything it needs to be. What's going on, everyone? It's just past Tuesday. Tuesday was a long day. I left the house about midnight and I drove from Virginia to Florida. And then when I got to Florida, I went to Miami Beach and I had some pizza with people with owners of a Cuban Cuban owners of a pizzeria on Miami Beach. Oh, Trump, why are you such a racist, man? I had a good discussion with a guy in Cuban in my broken Spanish out of nowhere. And he pointed me to iron beer. Iron beer is a type of root beer made in Cuba, and it's better than root beer. Why you got to be so racist, man? Why you got to tell everybody not to come here? I'm sure he would have lumped Cuba into his BS remarks. But anyway, so good times had by all. Long day, but man, oh man, what a day for news Tuesday was. And it makes sense because, you know, Martin Luther King holiday Monday. It's everything's flying around. I listened to a ton of news on the drive and got a dose of everything. Can you see this Saturday Night Live? There's definitely going to be a skit of the president's doctor giving the interview about how the physical went for Trump. Because the press conference itself was worth watching. He's classic. This guy's been the doctor for the president for like at least three presidents. I think he had Bush and Obama. And now he has Trump. So you got to lend this guy credibility. There's no messing around, right? Well, his responses were, his first priority was to make the president come off as impervious to normal health consequences. And it was to be as positive as possible and also flattering the president, saying he has things like great genes. But he was also being honest and truthful. So what he was doing is not quite cherry picking, because that's kind of a negative connotation to it, but he was looking at a heart scan result and saying that this is great for his age and whatever. And he wasn't focusing on things like borderline obese and diet. He just kept saying, we're working on diet and exercise. He did say lose a few pounds. He did say that. He was willing to say that the president needs to lose a few pounds, just like, just like your girlfriend's aunt who's, 55, just lose a few pounds, that kind of tone. Anyway, I can see the Saturday Night Live skit now, which is going to be, I think they need to go a little better than just doing a news conference, because, who do you have to play this actor, to play this doctor? He was eager. He was eager to please. President's in great health. President's got great genes. He could live to be 200. That's considering the oldest person ever only made it to about 120. That's a heck of a statement. But maybe he knows something about health that the rest of us don't. I believe in life extension techniques coming down the pike. So maybe he's right. Anyway, now, I think with the skit for Saturday Night Live, what they should do is they should have a video, somebody acting out a video of Trump doing the physical. One thing I checked out was they asked him a question about cognitive ability. So they gave him a test, Montreal cognitive ability test, something like that. They said he got 30 out of 30 on it. And I bet you that he did it beforehand, because you can just find it online. I bet you he did the one that you find online. That's my guess. That's how I would do it if I was Trump, because there's no way he got 30 out of 30 on his own. I think that they should do a skit of him doing that test and screwing it up, because there are some funny things. We have to read numbers forwards and backwards. You have to copy things. You're going to have to put yourself in someone else's shoes to answer some of those questions sometimes. And I don't think Trump totally has that capability. There's no way he got 30 out of 30 on his own. I can just tell the way he thinks. Because I would screw it up. By the way, there's something you're supposed to name an animal. Like, you think he's going to spell rhinoceros right? I don't know if that's part of the test or not. Also, the camel looks like a llama. Like, things are going to happen. There's no way he got 30 out of 30. So maybe they should do a skit. Or clearly just ask some funny questions. Somebody straight up asked him if he had dentures. They're like, does he wear dentures? And the doctor was, no, he does not wear partials of any kind, I think is, I'm almost quoting correctly, which is a weird answer, because I swear to God that dude had, you know, Trump had his lower lip, his lower teeth falling out during that speech. United States. That's, I think, what that was. I don't think it was dry mouth. And I would be surprised. I didn't get the vibe from the doctor that he was coming out and lying about anything. He was wording things in such a way so that Trump would be happy, which I think Trump's got to be happy with that conference. Even everybody, even the staunchest liberals were like, well, I guess the president's somehow in good health. There's questions like, hey, how can this guy who eats nothing but Big Macs and trans fat and desserts and be 71 and pretty chunky down there, how is he in good shape? And the answer is he gets engulfed and he doesn't think about his pain. That's how you do it. So watch for a Saturday Night Live skit definitely happening with that interview, because it's too juicy not to. Now, on to bigger and better things. So the biggest, this was an enormous news day. Okay, so you had Steve Bannon testifying in the House, not answering questions, and then getting subpoenaed by two different investigations, a House investigation and the big one, the FBI investigation by Mueller. You get subpoenaed for two. You know why you got subpoenaed twice today? Because nobody could find him. He kind of dropped off the planet when he got fired and got fired from Breitbart. You know what you do? You go to Hawaii and you get some hookers. That's what you do when you get fired from all these jobs. You get the hell away. So nobody could find him to give him a subpoena or to get him to answer a question. You throw your phone in the ocean on the way to Oahu. And I think that when he had to show up for the testimony at the House, everyone started slapping him with subpoenas because he was Lord of the Death coming out, you know, from inside the trees, you know, wherever he hides inside the cubby hole inside the bark of a huge redwood. He just comes creeping out with his hood. They got him. And so he's subpoenaing. And here's the intriguing part that I heard. And God, Rachel Maddow's all over this stuff. She also talked about, there's a meeting with Kazakhstan we haven't even talked about today because we don't even know what happened. I'll get to that later. So Bannon wouldn't answer the questions posed to him today. And his response was essentially, paraphrasing, executive privilege, which is anything I did with Trump, what happens with Trumpists stays in Trumpists, right? Like whatever I said to Trump when he was in the Oval Office or we're in president or we're having dinner, anything, that's all privilege because he's the president. And they do have some basis of an argument for that. However, they don't, like, it's kind of like the Fifth. Like, you can't really, like, you know, plot to do stuff with the president and then be ordered to talk about it because there is executive privilege. I get it. The president is granted some stuff because otherwise you could ask the president about every top secret thing he ever talked about if there are no laws there. So I get some of their argument. There's a slight bit of validity there. However, it definitely doesn't apply during the campaign. So that's a huge point. So anything that happened before he was inaugurated, he doesn't have that privilege on. And the other thing is, stuff in the normal course of business around the White House is not all executive privilege. Stuff that you do, stuff that you heard. Like, it's funny that Bannon gets slapped with a subpoena today because he is probably recorded by Michael Wolff. I think Michael Wolff. I want to say Richard Wolff. He's a better guy, but Michael Wolff's a better author, I guess. He's quoted as saying that the meeting at Trump Tower was treasonous, unpatriotic. It was funny because he goes, even if you don't think that meeting was treasonous, unpatriotic, or bad shit, and then he goes, which of course I think all of it is, like, or he says, which of course I think it does, or something. He confirmed it, which is funny because he didn't have to add that sentence, but he did it just for emphatic point, being like, you don't have to call it treasonous or whatever, but I think it all is, and you know, and if he had not done that, that is going to. Oh, God, that is going to hang him by the balls when he is in front of a grand jury, because there's no arguing away that statement. Of course, there's backup behind that statement, which is, how do you know that the meeting was treasonous? I mean, the rest of the world didn't even hear about this meeting until it was leaked. You knew about it beforehand, so you're going to dig yourself a hole bigger than one of those zits on your nose, man. Like, you are going to be in really, really bad shape. Okay, so that's why the defense that Trump is telling Bannon to take, which Bannon has no choice right now. Bannon is a man with no home, but at the same time, like, somebody might let him sleep on his couch. So he needs to stay friends with anyone he can at this point. He kind of reminds me of Flynn a little bit, because Flynn had no money to cover 19 different legal cases against him. And he kind of had to flip because it was ruining his whole family. You're done. You know, like, when you commit, you commit high crimes and you try to get sanctions. Sorry about the sniffing here. I'm getting a little cold on my drive, I guess. It'll go away. Bannon reminds me of Flynn a bit here. And so now the heat is on. And so far, Bannon's going to go with this response of, it's all executive privilege and I ain't saying shit. Now, that will eventually lead to, contempt of court, I guess, when you don't answer. And maybe perjury, too, if you sort of don't answer or answer stuff weird. You can't just say no to everything. And then, you know, you can get him for that. I don't think it's going to end there because the president's trying to inflict that strategy on everyone right now. That's going to be his go-to, which is, anyone who talked to me, I'm cutting you off with executive privilege. Say don't answer questions. Which, of course, you know, is Trump just flicking his finger up at the rule of law. And it, not only is it an unsustainable way of attacking something, but I actually think it's dangerous, and I'll tell you why. So this is what he's trying to do. Say, don't talk. Break the law. You know, don't let them file contempt of court charges against you and lock you up for that. At least I'm still scot-free, he thinks. That's what Trump's thinking, right? Well, after today's news and after hearing multiple indictments, after hearing the list, Rachel Maddow had a list of people that have testified in front of the grand jury for Mueller, and I didn't recognize hardly any of the names, but she started detailing who these people were and has started to piece together different crimes that they have testimony on already, just based on people that you can think and what they probably did and why they would be testifying. And really, you can put your hands and put your faith in Mueller here. Mueller is the right person for this. And he's methodically going through this massive conspiracy. It's totally unbelievable. So Trump, most of America, most of the world sitting behind still doesn't truly understand the scope of the crimes being committed and how dirty Trump really is. Trump is the dirtiest Sanchez in the history of dirty Sanchez's, okay? He is a dirty Sanchez after Chipotle night. That is how bad Trump is. It's awful. I mean, it's crimes to the highest degree all over the place and money everywhere, and he continues to do it. He's a crime in progress. The name of the movie, starring George Clooney as Robert Mueller, will be called Crime in Progress because we had to prosecute it while the crime was still going on. Imagine if there was this serial killer and we had him on trial and he was still out on bail killing everyone every day and pardoning himself. And pardoning his accessories to the crime, or at least talking about pardoning. Sorry, the only one he's pardoned is Joe Arpaio so far, which I don't think he's a cohort, but he is running for Congress. So I'm sure he would really be loyal to Trump because of that pardon, given that somehow you can be convicted of a crime and still run for Congress if the president pardons you. What the hell? Anyway, he hasn't used it on anybody else yet, but you can be sure that he – this is what worries me about – this is why I went down this road. It worries me he's telling Bannon not to talk because of executive privilege. And he told Don Jr. not to talk because of executive privilege and stuff like that. And just privilege because of lawyers. They're making up privilege. It's called, what's the name? I thought of the name of this. It's somebody on one of the news shows was talking about this privilege. And it was non-existent privilege should be the name of it. Non-existent privilege because it isn't. It's a privilege they're making up because they don't want to answer questions. It's basically contempt and not pleading the fifth. It's their version of pleading the fifth. So it's dangerous because he's trying to hold up anyone close to him to prevent any testimony somehow by that. Now, it's not a long-term strategy. It can't work forever because people will get charged with contempt or perjury or whatever. But here's what's coming. It's It's a short week with the holiday, and we got hit with a tsunami of news on Tuesday. Heavy Russia stuff, along with really positive health for the president. Good, he'll be healthy when we lock him up. And it's starting to go faster. And whatever you think the president's cognitive ability is, if you had everyone coming after you and you're as dirty as that dirty Sanchez is, what are you going to do? I haven't heard as much news about attacks on the FBI lately. Hopefully the congressmen and senators are getting the picture, or at least getting scared that if you do that now, you're really starting to dance close with being a conspiracist yourself. When you see the facts and you decide to side with Putin against the FBI, you got to ask yourself what part of America you're from, because I don't think anybody respects it. Even the Cubans that I was having pizza with do not respect that. Yo puedo hablar en español de tu presidente es supposed to be o tu presidente. And not el dictator de Zaro el Roshino, okay? So everybody knows that. And if everyone's coming in on him and the investigation's out of control, and there's this thing going on this week, in this short week, where there could be a government shutdown at the end of the week. There could very well be a government shutdown at the end of the week. The Democrats kind of want to take a stand. This is a weird one. Normally, we want to avoid government shutdowns because they're nonsense and they're just a waste of time and a pain in the ass. But there's something else going on now. I think there is going to be a shutdown this week. I've lived through a shutdown before. I remember when Newt did that. Newt's still in town. I see Newt sometimes when I go out to lunch and brunch in Vienna on freaking Sundays. He's there with his wife. And he shut down the government once. And It's probably going to happen again, because the Democrats want to fight for DACA. Democrats want to have like some semblance of morality coming out of the president and win one battle. And the president wants to shut down the government for a different reason. And the Republicans don't care. Do whatever Trump says, right? They're still at this point. The president wants to shut down the government because I'm afraid he's going to go on a firing spree. And it's better for him if the government's shut down, because it actually limits the government's response. Right now, it's the government versus Trump. We're getting to that point. And I was like, what are we going to do when he does this? He's going to shut down the government. He's going to try to fire everybody. Or he's going to do something. He's going to try to pardon everybody. He's going to do something ridiculous. If there's one thing you know about Trump, it's that he's going to do the unexpected. So we don't know what it is yet, because it's always unexpected. I mean, you can't expect the unexpected. Like the classification of the word just changes at that point. It's kind of like the double slit experiment for figuring how light is rather a wave or a particle. Nobody can figure it out. It's a chicken and an egg, expected or unexpected. So we don't know what he's going to do. And I fear, I mean, I try to think a little crazy like him. What I would do, what would I do if I was him? And I wanted to win. All right, be careful, Trump. I might give you something that's a loser, but I'll pretend like it's a winner because I want you to go down. What would I do if I was you and I wanted to get caught? Well, okay. I would definitely shut the government down. So we're gonna go on the level with this answer. I'm the president. I have been committing high crimes and misdemeanors, and everybody I know has been too, and I need to stop the investigation and dismantle the government. What do I do? Okay, so I've been given this gift of the Democrats letting me shut the government down. So that limits, it just limits a response. Like the government's shut down. Like there's people that are operating autonomously and still working and everything. Like the Mueller investigation doesn't stop because the government's shut down, but there's something called permanent unaffected whatever, like budgets that aren't hit with that, but a lot of the other governments shut down, and I think it screws up Congress a little bit. I would then fire everyone. I have to fire Rosenstein. There's this huge backlash, but it doesn't matter because I'm going to jail for all my crimes anyway, so it doesn't matter anymore. I don't care about political backlash. I don't give a rat's ass. I don't want to wake up and have an indictment on my front doorstep instead of the Washington Post. Like Jeff Bezos is going to fly in his drone with an indictment on the random morning. He doesn't want that. So he's got to fire everyone. So I think that involves Rosenstein and McCabe and somebody else. Somebody will eventually, he'll disband the the law, like poor Rachel Maddow, like put out a way that he can actually do this. I don't want to talk about this because it's actually a good idea. But he, or whatever, he'll do something legally to disband the council. He could do that, something like that. And even then we would revolt. We would still continue with the investigation. So that's not going to stop. He's got to utterly dismantle the FBI. He's got to like fire everybody. What if he literally fired everyone in the agency? I wonder if he could legally do that. That's the kind of massive scale thing that, that I would have to do if I'm trying to take it over this country as a dictator. And that is so disjointed because then you've lopped off like you've lopped off a huge chunk of law enforcement. And if you somehow are able to push judges through and get the legal judicial branch on your side, which you're not going to be able to in the near term because there are too many seated judges already, you're eventually going down. There's really no way that he's not going down. He can delay it by firing everyone, closing government, continue to make a mess and fight from his point of view and like threaten pardons and pardon stuff. Now, so if he's going to continue to be this, you know, redheaded stepchild, red-faced stepchild, if he's going to be like that, and we can't seem to react fast enough with our laws to figure out a way to get this this terrible president out, I think what we need is, what was the name of the act? I was like, Congress needs to pass. Congress needs to pass a law. This is the way the Republicans can get away with not having to do something because Mueller's going to come back with crimes that president should be impeached on, but the Republicans don't know how to impeach because they can't find an I on a keyboard. Like they're like, what? I can't do that. So they're never going to do it. But here's what they might do. Pass a law that says the no one's above the law law. That's the name of the law. No one's above the law. And all the law says is that the president, just like anyone else, can be indicted for a crime. Yes. Yes. That's it. Now, what that's going to open up is potential lawsuits against the president all the time for all kinds of crazy stuff, or maybe potential indictments. But I think that the president should be legally be potentially be indicted as a sitting president. I don't think that that's too dangerous of a weapon to give to the FBI or whoever would be doing that. And I'll tell you why. The bureaucracies that exist for large, huge charges like this that would ever make a big charge against the president would have to pass so many hurdles that the odds of them being corrupt and winning in a court of law when the president still would have a lot of advantages on his side, including things like executive privilege, including a defense like, hey, I was the president. Like I know Nixon said that in the Frost-Nixon interviews when he was like, well, if the president does it, well, then it can't be illegal. Right? That's sort of an argument. Like the president makes decisions to do drone strikes and kill people in other countries. Who calls that legal? I mean, it is killing someone based on our idea. And we miss sometimes and we hit the wrong target sometimes. What do you call that? Oh, it's not murder because it was a mistake. Like these are things that in a way Trump has actually said them and they're sort of right, which he's like, yeah, Putin has people killed. So we have people killed too. Now we don't have our political opponents killed within eyeshot of the Kremlin. Like you don't see Hillary getting pegged down outside of Pennsylvania Avenue. That would be a totally different world. So it's not – there's a false equivalency there and we get that. But Trump does have that way of pointing out the obvious sometimes. Now, if we passed this law that said nobody's above the law, which means you're allowed to indict a sitting president, then all of a sudden – the FBI can do what Congress is impotent of doing and charge him with conspiracy against the United States and money laundering and excessive Big Mac scarfing, if that's a crime. Maybe it's not. I think he'll get out of that one. I wouldn't convict. I think it should be a crime. If we do that, now, what would happen if Congress passes? It just says nobody is above the law and you can indict a sitting president. That's it. That's all. Just to make it clear. Now, I think that should pass because it's simple and there might be some, I mean, the Republicans' donors are going to realize they're going to take Trump out. But if the Republicans don't impeach Trump because they're simply scared, like they don't want to be the first one to peel off and get lambasted by their party because they're still trying to get stuff through. They're always trying to save whatever they have. They still have Congress. It's amazing. Republicans have a House and the Congress, House and Senate, and the presidency, and they can't do hardly anything. All they're able to do is tax cuts. So anyway, this legislation, nobody's above the law. That's it. They pass it. Now, Trump immediately vetoes it because obviously, yes, that's all he can do. Ah, can you override a veto of this law? 2/3 of Congress. That is a fight that I would love to have in the media. Seems tough, but it seems like you ought to be able to do it. First of all, it should be 100-0 in the Senate and like 435-0 in the House if everybody showed up. And even Mike Pence should be like, yep, God said sure. I think that we should definitely do that. Let's try that. Let's try to, somebody's proposed legislation of the nobody's above the law, which just says you are a sitting president can be indicted just like anybody else. He's not a god. He's not a dictator. He's not above the law. Let's do it. That can be done immediately, right? Let's do it.